It's your little friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy, kids, so I'd get out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Cats.
Cats. Coming out of the gate with explosive energy, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jack Shepherd delivering his iconic intro. Cats.
Yeah, and that's my one note, I think, that I have. So I knew I had to lead with that.
Do we want to let the sex bugs and the bed pots in on sort of the circumstances surrounding this record, or do you think they wouldn't be interested?
I don't know, man. You see if you can make it interesting, I guess. It's content, you know?
Omicron variant.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
The Omicron variant is here, and it's ripping through American daycares and Montessori schools. Yeah. So Miles is home with an exposure scare for the next 2 weeks. That has made things complicated because I've just started a new job. Mm-hmm. I texted you yesterday and said, let's not, like, maybe we shouldn't record at all. Maybe we should just,
release one we have in the tank.
Or just, like, slowly walk into a lake.
Slowly walk into a lake, yeah. Yeah, like, those are the two options on the table every
Just become,
week.
Like, bog people.
Those are always the choices, record or slowly walk into a lake and become bog people. But it's always been an easy choice until this week where we were like, you know what? Let's see what's behind door number two.
Let's just test the waters a little bit, literally. And then you are here.
Here.
On this coast.
I'm in the New York City. Yeah.
Yeah. And you last night invited me to go out with our mutual friends. I declined again because of the Omicron variant ravaging central Connecticut. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you didn't decline. It sounds like you still carried through with that plan.
Yeah, I did.
How are you feeling?
And I don't want to get into it, but I stayed out too late last night, I think.
Yeah.
And I feel strange.
Luckily, you had a big, comfy, warm blanket in the form of this movie.
Yeah.
This movie to cuddle up in this morning.
Can I say something about the Omicron variant?
Yeah, please.
That it's just been kind of like bubbling up inside me and I don't know where to put it, so I'm going to put it here.
Yeah.
The next one is P.
The next one is P?
P.
What's the Greek for P?
Omicron, P, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon.
Oh, it's
P,
just P. Z. So next is P variant.
People say pi. They're familiar with it as pi.
Yeah.
But it's pronounced P. And it's
what's before Omicron?
I think it's Z. So alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi.
What happened to all those ones?
It's xi. Well, they didn't do xi because it's of Xi Jinping.
Okay.
The Chinese president.
Okay.
And they thought that people would take it amiss if they named a variant after him.
So they just skipped one?
They've skipped a few. They skipped new as well because they didn't want people going around saying the new variant. And they're like, what do you mean the new variant? Yeah.
Well, anyway. What's it called?
Yeah. Anyway, I just like know that because I know the Greek alphabet and I know that P is coming and like I don't know how to tell anyone. And it's like I'm telling you, P is coming.
I mean, luckily, I think Omicron is just going to finally, wipe us all out. So I don't think we'll get to P.
Yeah. Anyway, do with that what you will. P is next.
Precipice of annihilation. Jack is
hungover
beyond belief. But we did manage to watch a movie that we're here to discuss.
Last week,
we lied to you.
Did we? Yeah, we lied.
We said,
kind of.
We're going to watch one of two movies. We're either going to watch the sequel Christmas House 2.
Or the sequel
that is
to
unavailable to us.
The
Nine
Lives
of Christmas.
They made
that unavailable to us. They said, not for you, boys. No.
No, boys.
And then we said, okay, well, then we're going to watch this new hot meme movie called The Nine Kittens of Christmas.
It sounds great.
Yeah, it looked good. And then it turns out that Hallmark Channel made that
lied
one unavailable
to us
as well.
Yeah, they don't want people watching their Christmas movies.
They make a whole app and platform where they're like, you're welcome to watch any of our movies on demand.
Yeah.
Except for
these ones.
These two movies.
And I didn't cancel my Hallmark Channel subscription because it seemed like we were going to be doing more. And then I was like, all right, fine. We're doing The Nine Lives of Christmas. And I went to go get it. And they're like, great, that'll be $5.99. And I was like, what? But wait, what? Why?
I pay you for the service.
Why?
So yeah, we're doing last year's hit Hallmark sensation.
It's Cats.
The Nine Lives of Christmas. It's Cats and it's Superman and
yeah.
Fireman. And
is it? Oh, yes.
Lots of Canadian. He played Superman.
Did he?
The guy, Brown Eyes.
Okay.
Zachary.
He played
Superman in those pretty easily forgotten, like 2006 Superman movies. Superman Returns. Kevin Spacey was Lex Luthor.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Huh. He's very handsome.
He is very handsome. Oh, Miles is
here.
Hi,
Miles.
Hi, Miles.
Sorry.
That was a. The door.
Miles, say bye, Papa.
That was a very aggressive hi, Miles. That was a. Hey, Jamie.
He can't come down here because the other side of my podcast hole partition is just a room filled with unwrapped presents for him.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something dangerous, but it's something nice.
No, something nice. I've just been collecting presents for like the last 6 months down here.
I got Cyril too many presents, man. Me too. I just can't not. It's
every time
so
he expresses
nice.
An interest in something, I'm like, okay, yeah. I'll go okay. to Amazon yeah. and buy it.
No, we almost bought an expensive camera because he like watched a Sesame Street where Elmo is like trying to be a photographer and like he was like, I want to be a photographer. And he like took Sarah's camera for a while and was like wearing it around his neck like a little cutie and pretending to take pictures. And like he's absolutely long since completely forgotten about that, but like sure. during those minutes we were like frantically researching like cameras for kids, you know,
best baby cameras.
Yeah, anyways,
yeah,
getting Star
too,
Wars toys. It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas, and that's why we're watching Hallmark Christmas movies for you people.
And this one's Cats with cats.
Yes.
I liked it. I just watched it. Literally, I knew that. So we have like a very tight recording schedule today because of, you know, the aforementioned crisis that everyone's experiencing and the kids are home and Tanner's got a fancy new job. I did the timing and I realized that if I never paused the movie, I would watch the last second of the movie just in time to start this recording.
Okay, like perfect.
So it's like right in my.
You feel like you're
in my
yum
hole.
You're frosty. You got it in.
I've got it all in. Yeah.
Okay. And you're
but
ready
I couldn't
to discuss it.
I couldn't stop to think. I couldn't pause the movie to like collect my thoughts. So this is the first draft of history that you're getting.
Okay. Right.
You know.
Well, this is the Dead Sea Scrolls. those are the first draft of the Bible.
Okay.
I watched it last night.
Yeah.
So I would say it's fairly fresh in my memory, but it sounds like it's much fresher in your memory.
Oh,
and
it's
given
so fresh.
Your current state, I think it would just be a delight to hear you recap this.
Well, you know, here's
novel.
Bad news, because what we do for the Hallmark ones is we kind of just say the whole movie over the course of the episode. It's different.
Oh, right. That's
it's
right.
No rules, just right.
All right. Fade from black.
There's a cat.
Welcome to Jamestown, New York.
Yeah, they all live in, like, I don't know if it's, like, directed at us, but they all live in these, like, idyllic little,
upstate.
Like, towns in upstate.
New York.
It's like, true love is here, cats are
here. I
don't
think it's actually Jamestown, New York. I think it's probably Canada, because every single person in this film is Canadian.
You can tell because they're so nice.
Yeah.
Everyone's nice. The firefighters.
Well, not everyone. That old crone who owns the apartment complex.
And the Blair
who's like a
and the
cat hater.
The Blair Witch Project.
Oh yeah,
his girlfriend.
Blair. Yeah.
So there are two people who are not nice, and they're comically evil. But everyone
else is
so nice,
sinister.
And you can tell it's Canada because I used to live when I was in New York. I lived just down the road from a firehouse. And sometimes I would walk past and see the firemen.
Yeah.
And they weren't like that.
No. How were they?
Meaner.
Meaner, yeah. These firemen are
so nice,
charming, and they're always silly,
like, gently razzing
sensitive.
Each other and like persuading each other to like get girlfriends and settle down
and get cats.
Yeah, and get cats.
Come on, man, you're a big tough firefighter. Just get a cat and get a girlfriend, buy a house.
Come on,
start a family.
Don't you believe in true love, man? Bro, yeah.
I like to think. I have a theory.
Okay.
That every single one of these Hallmark Christmas movies, Santa is secretly in it. Last week, Santa.
I have
was
that theory
the
too.
Magic shop owner.
Yeah, I have that theory too. I was like, which one's Santa? And I think it's pretty obvious.
Who's your Santa this week?
I think Santa is the fire chief.
I was thinking it might be the fire chief too.
Yeah,
he's like a skinny guy in his like 60s, but
yeah.
He's got big Santa energy.
He's got just, he's like wiser than anyone has a right to be.
Yeah. They put a red herring in at one point. They're, Mrs. Claus and Santa Claus are like ringing a bell outside of like a charity.
Yeah.
And the heroine of the film gives them a little money, thus unlocking like her Christmas miracle, I think.
Yeah.
They want you to think that's Santa. No, I think it's this fire chief.
No, I think it's the fire chief. He's got big Santa energy. The other big energy in this novel is the lady lead.
Yeah,
nameless. They never gave. Oh, her name is Merrily, like Christmas.
Merrily.
Yeah. Merrily has big Sandra Bullock energy.
She does. Yeah. Jamie watched the film with me because we
did
watched
she like
it last
it?
Night. She loved it.
I loved it. I mean, it was very heartwarming.
But she really liked Merrily.
I really liked her too. I like big Sandra Bullock energy. I like Sandra Bullock, I think, a lot.
Okay. That's not a hot take. She's America's sweetheart.
I told you I was going to be coming in hot today.
Did you like her? What do you like better? Did you like Sandra Bullock's sort of like 90s action phase, or did you like her post-action like rom-com phase?
I like everything she's ever done.
Nothing
she's
wrong
a perfect
with any
angel.
Of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, here's a hot take. Ready for a hot take? While You Were Sleeping is a Christmas movie.
Okay.
You know how everyone's like, Die Hard's a Christmas movie. Well, I'm like, While You Were Sleeping is a Christmas movie.
Okay, is it literally a Christmas movie?
It takes place over Christmas. Nobody ever talks about it.
Well, here's a hot take.
Yeah.
There was absolutely no reason this movie had to be a Christmas movie.
they got a...
Christmas is pretty, like, ancillary.
Christmas is ancillary, and, like, kind of so are cats.
No, cats are crucial to the plot.
Cats are crucial, but let me ask you this question. What are the 9 lives of Christmas?
Yeah, they never really get into that.
There's only 2 cats.
Yeah, and only
I think that must be what they set out to fix with the 9 kittens of Christmas. But also, speaking of fixing, I hope that doesn't mean that they didn't fix their 2 cats that are now living together.
But they certainly didn't, because I don't know if you knew this, but there's a sequel that you just mentioned called
Yeah, that's
nine
what
kittens
I'm saying.
Of Christmas.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's 9 kittens they find and not 9 kittens that they extremely irresponsibly allow to be created in their own.
I think
home,
they. I think it's the latter, roof. And I think they then now need to like eradicate these kittens.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they
like
do imply
it's like
this
Gremlins
one,
too.
It's part of the lore of this universe that if a cat isn't adopted by Christmas, it's destroyed.
Yeah, that's what Blair wants.
That's what Blair
we
wants.
We should say in the movie. Yeah. Fade from black. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a handsome fireman.
Yeah, Brandon.
And he looks like
Roosh.
Superman.
He's playing Zachary Stone, I
and
think.
And he's got brown eyes. And he's talking, as you do around the firehouse, he's talking with the other fire bros. And he's like, man, I could never commit and settle down.
Yeah. That's his whole thing. He really hangs his hat on the fact that he's like a fuck machine who never stops fucking models and won't settle down and can't settle down. And he works too hard for it anyway.
Yeah.
He's working 24-hour shifts as a volunteer firefighter.
But he doesn't ever seem that tired.
No. And he also is completely rebuilding a house from scratch.
And he always wears his fireman's uniform, no matter where
he
is.
And he's got lots of free time. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got seems to have like an insane amount of free time.
Yeah. So he's sort of an enigma.
So that's our hero.
Yeah. And well, that's your hero, maybe. My hero is Ray.
Who's Ray?
Ray is the, like, older, pudgier fireman.
Oh, he's funny.
Like, constantly, like, smirking at the camera.
They have a very... But I have a few, like, absolute literal laugh-out-loud moments in the movie. And one of them is, like, just an... Some of them are just because of the silliness of this format. And one of them was a genuine moment where the beautiful Sandra Bullock energy walks into the firehouse carrying a cat that she's found. His cat has run away. And she's like...
Hi. I'm looking for the owner of this cat.
And then both those dudes, including the pudgy dude, turn around and they're like...
He's mine.
Because they like the sexy lady.
Yeah, there's the two firemen who are his friends, and they both just like desperately want to just kind of sweep up.
Yeah.
Like whatever...
Whatever his leavings are.
Whatever his leavings are, yeah.
They're constantly like, he's like, I broke up with another model. And they're like, okay, great. I'm going to go wait outside her house.
Aren't you married? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So now fade to it's this beautiful Sandra Bullock energy. And she's trying to put herself through.
Merrily.
Oh, yeah. Why can't Merrily I remember her White. Name? It's literally Christmas name.
Yeah.
She's and she is beautiful, I think.
Yeah, she's a nice looking lady.
Yeah.
That's what Jamie and I had this argument. She was like, oh, it's so nice to see like an untraditional like female lead. And I was like,
she's gorgeous.
To me, she seems pretty conventionally attractive.
Yeah. I think Jamie's got, she's not like her sister.
Yeah, her sister is just
looks
like
a movie star.
Yeah. She's kind of got a bump on her nose. And she's a little bit older, but she's like a very nice looking lady.
She's cute. And she, she's trying to put herself through vet school, and she works at the pet store.
Right, which
and
is owned got a by cat. A kindly old man. Who
she's
has
a crazy
like a...
cat lady. She talks to her cat, and she's lonely.
Oh,
and
yeah, but she's not allowed to have a cat.
And she's not allowed, and she doesn't have time for
love.
Not in
the Angel Arms apartments.
Yeah, because the mean old lady says, it says landlady.
A wicked crone.
It's like she's like running around like listening for meows, literally, and like knocking on people's doors like, I heard a meow. And she's got a friend who measures her age in dog years.
Have you met anyone yet? No. And I've gained like 6 pounds. I'm 79 years old and I'm gonna die fat, old, and alone.
Please, you are not fat and you need to stop counting your age in dog years.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny. That made you laugh out loud?
That's funny.
It's kind of funny.
It's a good joke. I'm in a weird mood today. So yeah. I kind of found
what is cat ears? Is it the same as dog ears?
I think it's like slightly shorter or slightly long. Slightly shorter.
It must be slightly
kind
longer.
Of sadly. Yeah. And what else? What happens? Do they meet? Should we have our characters meet?
Yes, they meet at the grocery store. Yes, because
the cat adopts
angelic
him.
Cat.
Called Ambrose
comes into Superman's life.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't have time for cats. I can't commit to anything. And it's like, dude, you're talking to a cat.
And he uses his firefighter powers to like look up the background of this cat and discovers that Ambrose's owner was an old lady who's died.
Yeah.
So Ambrose has no home. So he sort of takes Ambrose in and then
he's
goes
like,
to
you
the
can stay for one night, but then you're gone.
And then he goes to the grocery store to get food, and that's where he meets.
He's Sandra like Bullock. Carrying the cat. He like carries the cat everywhere he goes.
Yeah, it's cute.
He doesn't know
cat
how to
also
be a
becomes
cat owner.
Well, I think he's actually like a better cat owner than any of us.
Yeah, that may be true. Yeah, he's a you super know? Cat owner. Yeah.
And the cat becomes the fire station mascot.
Yeah.
Santa's like,
it's a good
every
cat.
Fire station has a dog, but we have a cat.
Yeah. We're so. Cat firefighters. And because they're Canadian, they're like, yeah, that's great. Instead of like, come on, bro.
You get a pit bull.
Yeah. They're nice, and they're nice cat nice. They're firefighters.
Sweet man.
And he meets her in the grocery store, and they have what will become a tradition for them, which is like uncomfortably long conversations for two people who are strangers.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
like, and like overly revelatory. My other like laugh out loud moment in the movie, it's one of these conversations. Like they end up having dinner together for unclear reasons. And
he wants to apologize to her for getting her fired.
It's just like the most amazing transition. He's like, they're sitting there. They finish their dinner. She just like shivers because she's in a beautiful dress and it's cold. And he's like, are you cold? And she signals that she is. And he's like, I'll be right back. And then immediately the next scene is she's in a large, like a massive oversized fireman's coat. And she says,
when I was in college, my parents died in a car accident.
And for some reason, just like that, like fucking transition from are you cold to out of nowhere. When I was in college, my parents died in a car accident is fucking amazing. And his response is,
when I was about 14, our house caught on fire.
Yeah.
It's like they're really like
more stories,
just like cut to the chase with like backstory. Like they don't, their conversations are only backstory.
We get hints. I think this is a hallmark trope is yeah. We get hints at some disaster in Sandra Bullock and her sister's history.
Yeah.
But they never get into it. And you're always sort of left to wonder what happened there, but then they go ahead and they do just have an entire scene where it's exposition and tells you about the background of the characters.
She's an orphan.
They leave nothing to chance.
He, a firefighter who was ended up being the Santa Claus character, jumped through his window when he was a boy. And he was like, from this day forward, I will be a firefighter.
Yeah, it's just like Hawkeye.
That's actually what happened to me. A content strategy consultant jumped through my window.
Yeah.
When I was a 9-year-old boy. And I was like, yeah. Wow, when I grow up, I vow this.
Yeah.
That I will be that. And it did. And it happened.
I was trying to, I think your hangover is rubbing off on me because I was trying to like whip up a headline on the fly. And yeah. I just couldn't come up with anything.
What, for that story?
Yeah, like nine times content creators crash through windows to change boys' lives or something like that. Like something he yelled at you.
The nine most heartwarming times. Yeah, beautiful. What else happens in this one?
So yes, they Brandon has a revolving door of beautiful women coming into and out of his giant Victorian mansion that he
he
in.
Like buys houses and fixes them up. He's like a flipper. He's a flipper. Yeah.
And he's currently seeing this nasty young woman called Blair.
He calls her the Blair Witch Project. It's like if you call your girlfriend the Blair Witch Project, it's probably not working.
Yeah. And she hates cats
and everyone.
And that's surprising because her dad owns the local pet store where Mara Lee works. And they go into the pet store, Brandon and Blair Superman and Blair to find someone to adopt this cat, Ambrose. And
Ambrose, yeah.
Mara Lee's a little bit too brusque with her. And she talks to her, Blair talks to her daddy, gets Mara Lee fired. So she needs to move in with Superman.
Yeah, Superman's like, well, as you know, I'm afraid of commitment, but like, why don't you, girl I've just met, move into my house and live with me?
And we'll be best friends and we'll do everything together and we'll do kissing.
We'll do kissing. But like, that's before, not real.
It's compelled kissing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want to kiss, but they have to. She
hangs mistletoe up in like every fucking event.
Well, this is what the 79-year-old suggested.
Go get some mistletoe. Put it in the house. If he stands underneath it, gives you a kiss on the cheek, then he just wants to be friends. But if he kisses you on the lips, then he really likes you.
Yeah. Yeah, the
dog 79-year-old vet tech friend.
Yeah.
Was like, hang mistletoe, and if he gives you like one of them like hot kisses, then you'll know that he wants to like do it with you. But if he just gives you a little peck on the cheek, then you're just friends.
Yeah.
He gives her like a whopper of a kiss.
But it is also true that like hanging mistletoe and then just like standing under it and waiting for him to come home in a sexy dress, like if that's the thing, you might as well just be like, "Hey, I'm into you." Like,
right.
You like that's not being coy.
Right.
They do a
big kiss, but it still doesn't mean anything to him. He's just like, "Oh, I hate commitment."
I hate commitment. They have a conversation early on where he's like. He's like literally like the first day they met out of nowhere. He's like,
I don't really believe in the whole happily ever after fairy tale ending thing.
Like just apropos of nothing. That's like, they're like in the grocery store and she's like, well, actually mountain lions like to fuck in the forest.
Mountain lions actually take a leap of faith in love.
You do?
Yeah. When a male finds a female that he's attracted to, he jumps in front of her, stopping her in her tracks. And then he climbs to the highest peak he can find and starts howling and professing his love for her.
Right, right, right.
And they mate for life. So
that becomes his, like...
That becomes the thing.
It becomes the example that they're trying to live up to.
Yeah.
From that point on. Their relationship needs to be as good as a mountain lion's relationship for either of them to take it seriously.
Which sounds like it's pretty good.
Yeah. I grew up around mountain lions.
Yeah.
And were they often going to the highest peak
and howling at you? Yeah.
Yep. That's what I was going to say. One of them is they fall in love by howling on mountain peaks.
Yeah.
And the second one is they eat everyone's dogs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the sadder side of the mountain lion life cycle. Yeah. It's not as nice.
I grew up in the foothills of Colorado, like literally the foothills, like on the side of a mountain. And everyone in my neighborhood would just let their dogs and cats just sort of run wild.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just dogs everywhere. It was like Russia where there's just sort of like dogs everywhere. And it's unclear whether they belong to anyone or not.
That's a Texas thing too.
And I'm just now realizing how silly that was because like
mountain lions eat them.
There was rattlesnakes and mountain lions and coyotes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also there was a crazy rancher who hated the dogs coming on his property. So he just used to hang up poisoned meat to kill all the dogs.
Jesus. Do you live in like a horror movie?
And we were all just always like, oh, that's fine.
Jesus. That's awful.
Vern and Brody will figure it out.
I hate to hear that. Anyway, it's a nice cat movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a nice cat movie.
Let's see what happens. Is that it?
Well, he takes her out to dinner to apologize to her. She moves in.
He and Blair have the oddest relationship. So their relationship ends because he shows up at his house and after Blair has gotten her fired, has gotten Sandra Bullock fired, and she's like, hey, I'm interested in unpacking what is actually going on here because she's got some salad on the table in like bowls that are quite clearly from a takeout place.
Right.
And it's salad. It's like lettuce and tomatoes. It's like a generic salad. And she's like,
I wasted my entire night cooking for you.
And then he's like,
I know you didn't cook, Blair, because I just bought that stove and it's not connected yet.
But it's also like, yes, that is one of the reasons that you can know she didn't cook. The other reason is that it's salad.
Yeah, there's no cooking required.
And she's your like longtime girlfriend, and she doesn't cook.
You know, like, she doesn't cook.
So they have an odd relationship, and then he's like, "This isn't working." And she, to her great credit, is like,
"You're breaking up with me?
That's the way it looks.
I'm a professional model, and you're breaking up with me?"
Right.
Which fair enough.
She's like a model for toothpaste.
Yeah.
I think it's important to clarify that she's like...
She's a toothpaste model. She got great teeth.
Not like a supermodel.
Yeah.
She's just like a model.
And she's not as pretty as Sandra Bullock. I'll say it.
Oh, whoa!
Yeah. I told you I was coming in hot today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I agree.
Yeah.
That's not as controversial as you think it is either.
And the cats are great.
Two beautiful cats. Two Ambrose beautiful cats. And Queenie.
Yeah. Here's what I think.
That's the real love story here.
That's the real
story. That's the real happily ever after.
Ambrose and Queenie. They just love each other, and they're always purring. Her cat and his cat. Let's take a quick break and come back and unpack the rest of this film.
Yeah, let's clear our heads. Let's get our heads on straight.
Let's get our heads on straight.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I would like to discuss with you the dating site that exists in this film.
Just Desserts.
Yeah. So that, like, before she realizes that she's in love with Mr. Brown Eyes, I guess there's this B plot where, like, her sister is constantly trying to, like, set her up, and she is annoyed by it, and so she.
But she's also, Sandra Bullock is also too busy to date right now. She's working in her spare time.
She doesn't believe in love until she's got a degree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she turns out everybody in this movie believes in love, except maybe Blair Witch Project. But she pretends to her sister that she's seeing someone.
Yes.
Because she doesn't want to have to get set up by her. And then that, you know, kind of turns into a nightmare. And the sister's like, what's his name? And she can't think of a name. And she's like, it's Brown Eyes.
Yeah.
And her sister's like, okay, it's a weird fucking name, but whatever.
And then she's like, well, what does he call you? And she's like, Merrily.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, he's got a cute pet name for me too. It's kind of funny. Like, these Hallmark movies are like, the writing is like kind of funny. And she can't think of anything. She's like, he calls me Merrily.
What's his name? His name is, I call him Brown Eyes. Silly little nickname that we have for each other. And he calls me Merrily.
At first, like, I didn't know that was her name. So until later.
Okay, that's weird. Why is he, like, calling Sandra Bullock Merrily?
Why is he calling Sandra Bullock Merrily? That's not, like, it was a weird, it felt like a weird laugh line. But it's a funny laugh line, because that is just her name.
That's her name.
But so then she's got to try to find a brown-eyed man to take to the Christmas party to keep this ruse alive. Right. And she and the woman who measures her life in dog years go on a dating site, and I'd like to talk about it. It's called Just Dessert, and it's spelt with two S's because it's got like a cake theme for some reason. So it's like Just Dessert. It's like Just Dessert, or it's like Just Dessert. But the expression Just Desserts means when you get the punishment that is due to you for your crimes. That's the appropriate punishment for your hellacious crimes. That's what a just dessert is. Like, it's not like it's not happy. It doesn't, like, it works as a pun for maybe a food site.
Yeah, it seems. I just googled
it. But it's not a food site.
There's at least three bakeries in my area.
Yeah, called just desserts.
Just desserts.
That's fine, but it doesn't work for a dating site because dating is not food.
Who is Seth Greenberg?
I need you to lock in on this.
Yes, go ahead. They're all called Just Desserts except for one, which is called Seth Greenberg's Just Desserts.
Okay. But it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. What is it?
The premise is, she explains the premise.
You give a cupcake.
You put up a profile picture and a little profile, and guys give you, people who want to date you give you cupcakes. And then you meet up at a local bakery for like a mixer.
Oh, I missed that.
And you like eat pastries. Remember, at one point she like goes to a party and she's like hanging out outside, and then she decides to like call 79-year-old friend and be like, I can't make it.
Yeah.
That was a Just Desserts mixer.
Okay.
Because 79-year-old friend makes her a profile and takes like the most heinous profile picture imaginable, and like immediately three dudes are like, oh yes.
Yeah, she looks terrible.
Stuff you with cake.
Wow, how are you already good at being awful on this fictional dating site? But that's the thing. That's your just dessert. I don't know. That's all. It's a punishment. Just dessert is a punishment. You shouldn't have a dating site named after a punishment.
Can I ask you? You're sort of a word guy.
Sure am.
Why is dessert spelled with two S in just dessert? It's not like a desert, is it?
Okay, let me unpack this for you. It's spelled with two S's when it's being used as a pun for a bakery.
Why is it spelled with one S in the original version?
Because it's a dessert. It's something you deserve.
Oh.
Yeah, it's something you deserve. It's also like
a big sandy
wasteland.
Archaic form of...
I don't know what just desert is, but... That's a really bad dating site.
I mean, most deserts are just desert.
Just desert is a dating site that nobody goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I've explained that to you now.
Thank you.
What else? Okay, here's what else I'll tell you. I don't know. It's kind of a conspiracy theory I've got. Are you familiar with the philosopher Maurice Merleau-Ponty?
Sure.
Okay.
It's one of my favorites.
Okay. I've talked about him before.
Yeah, I know. And I like how he, I like his thoughts on human nature.
No.
Well, I do That's... like his thoughts on human nature.
Okay.
But what are you going to say?
He did for the body what Heidegger did for the mind, basically.
Okay.
For being.
Right.
Right?
Right.
His famous thing is like, it's about like, the phenomenology of being embodied, right? Okay. The example that he gives is like when you reach out for a doorknob, your hand like automatically forms into the shape of the doorknob.
Oh, this is like Kirk Cameron shit.
It's not like Kirk Cameron shit. It's not at all.
Obviously,
like that.
Evolution isn't real. God no, made your hand like that. So that it can grip a doorknob.
No, it's about like the anticipation of like, forget it. I thought about this because when the cat shows up, like the cat follows him in, Superman.
Cameron kind of disappeared. He was a real like meme machine back in like 2013.
Yeah.
Like we were all paying attention to what Kirk
talking
Cameron
about
had
the
to
banana
say.
Thing.
Yeah. The banana thing.
I think that it like fell out of like people stopped knowing who he, it stopped being.
I also think like
weird
that it, like seed of Kirk Cameron being like a pretty like bonkers, like, creationist sort of just became a significant part of the voting population in our country.
It became too normal to be. Is your feeling that I've finished my thought, or does it seem to you like I'm in the middle of a thought?
I wasn't paying attention. I wouldn't know.
That was a preamble. The Merleau-Ponty thing was a preamble for the main course. That was your appetizer. The cat follows Superman into the house.
Yeah, Amber
right?
Does.
But like he doesn't see it. He like opens the door and like the cat just like follows.
We see it.
And then he goes and sits down in his chair because like he doesn't have a TV. He doesn't have any commitments. He's just like
he doesn't have time when he gets
home is he stays in his fireman outfit and he sits down in his chair.
That's
what he's got.
Yeah.
Then to his apparent surprise, the cat jumps up on his lap. But if you watch that scene closely, he does what all people who have cats do when they expect their expected cat jumps up on their lap, which is he puts his little hand out to pet the cat in anticipation of the cat.
Of the cat being there. Oh,
so okay. Something's... and that's Merleau-Ponty. And that's... Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And something's fucking amiss.
Something divine is guiding his
something,
hand.
Well, or he's always had a cat. Maybe he's always had a cat and he's forgotten. It's like a Groundhog Day situation.
Oh, you know, right.
Like... That he definitely was expecting.
I mean, he's
a
firefighter. He could have brain trauma or something. You know,
he could have been beamed
in the head with a falling log.
Maybe
whatever.
This happens to him every fucking Christmas.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. And that's how, like, Jamie and I were speculating, like, what could the Nine Kittens of Christmas possibly be about? Yeah. Superman and Sandra Bullock are already together.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it's just like he has forgotten. And needs to go ahead.
Sorry, I'm raising my hand because I have a thought. Here's what 100% is happening.
I watched. Explains it was a eureka moment.
What the sequel is. When the old lady died next door to him,
right,
who owned the cat, her fucking spirit went into his body, into the body of the most handsome firefighter that she could find so that she could be like, I'm going to live life to the fullest.
Right. He's fuck so many models.
He's her now. And that's why he expected the cat.
He's her, and that's why his whole sort of demeanor changed.
That's why his demeanor changed. He becomes nice. He stops being afraid of commitment. Nine Kittens of Christmas is going to be when she leaves his body, and then the actual him has to fall in love with Sandra Bullock again.
Yeah.
Wow. Good? Yes.
That's pretty good. I think they're going to need to do a lot of setup. Because they did not get into that. They did not express any of that mythology in this one.
But they show it, right? Because he knows he has a cat, and it's the only explanation is that the old lady next door jumped into his body and possessed
via
him for the rest of the movie.
Maybe. Was she riding
the cat? Yeah, that's how
cat?
She does it. Yeah, she's a yeah. She's a cat warg.
She's a cat warg, right?
Yeah.
Except I think most of the time wargs leave the animal behind when they transform back into a person?
I think if you're a warg, you can go into the animal but you can go into any animal, including human animals. So when you're dying, you go into an animal
and
your body dies, and then you have to go into a human
animal. Just like the Bloodhound Gang always said.
Did they?
Sure. You don't remember the classic Bloodhound song?
Yeah.
You and me, baby, nothing
Discovery
but
Channel.
Mammals.
Yeah. That's your Maurice Merleau-Ponty.
Yeah. We all have our Maurice Merleau-Ponty. For Kirk Cameron, it was bananas.
Yeah.
For you, it's doorknobs. For me, it's that Bloodhound Gang song.
Yeah, beautiful song. Speaking of that dirty, sexy song.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the Bloodhound Gang. I feel like I don't.
Yeah.
I suspect. I haven't checked in on them in a while, but I suspect that they haven't aged well.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, like. Yeah, I think that pickup line is not great.
I'm not sure that their intent with that was to say this is a great pickup line.
Okay, what was the intent? Let's unpack it.
Perhaps the opposite.
Yeah, okay. This is a bad pickup line.
Yeah, I think maybe they were saying let's be nasty boys and talk about farting in our jeans.
Do they say that?
No, that's in the other song. Okay. God, you were not much of a Bloodhound that game.
I'm sorry. I haven't familiarized myself. But while we're talking about
what were you doing in 2003 when all of us were watching CKY videos?
What's that?
Progenitor to Jackass.
Oh, I wasn't. I did watch the Jackass movie in theaters and like laughed harder than I've ever laughed in my entire life. I bet that hasn't aged well.
No, I bet not.
I want to sex up this movie.
Oh, please. Yes. So Hallmark movies are big warm blankets you wrap yourself in to feel good. They're not sexy.
This one was a little hornier than the last one.
This one is a little hornier, I guess, but still, there's no graphic sex or like.
Yeah.
It's just remember that movie Brown Bunny?
No.
It was some dude who's like a clown called Vincent something. And he got in a big like war of words with Roger Ebert at one point.
Okay.
But he filmed a feature length movie back in the early 2000s where Chloe Savini just like gives him a full on graphic oral sex for like 10 minutes at the end of the movie.
Okay.
And that, I think that I was, I keep waiting for something like that to happen in these Hallmark movies, and they never do. So I think we have to sort of
Do it. And it's a normally we're kind of prudish dudes, but we've grown accustomed to having a little bit of horniness in our books. And when there's none, we got to put it in. And it's a segment that we call the Two Lewd Dudes.
Yeah,
Two Lewd Dudes.
Horny Tanner,
and I'm horny Jack.
Here,
frankly, I'm hungover Jack. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and I'm
same thing.
Hawkishly watching the clock, Tanner.
Yeah, because you've got a meeting in 12 minutes. All right, let's sex this book up.
Yeah,
we can do it real quick. I've got one idea that I think is a fucking killer. It's a killer app.
Okay,
this is gonna do it. So the you know, as aforementioned, her 79-year-old friend decides to is like, look, you've moved in with this guy already. It's very romance novel trope. It's like, oh, we accidentally moved in together, but there's nothing between us.
Yeah, we're just very good friends. We're love just spending like all of our time together.
Roommates now.
Yeah.
And she's like, the only way to tell if he likes you is you got to hang up mistletoe, see if he wants to give you a big horny kiss.
Yeah.
Okay, hear me out on this. She goes to the mistletoe store, but by accident, in a hilarious accident, instead of getting kiss mistletoe, she gets 69 mistletoe.
Oh, they have that?
Yeah.
They've developed that strain?
Yeah. It's like, it's the good, the you know, it's like a Santa Claus figure is in the, you know, like a jolly old Saint Nick type guy is like behind the counter, and it seems like, it's like, oh, this is kind of a magical seeming store. There's a lot of midichlorians in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, ho, 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 I've got like the fucking, the good
hey,
stuff.
Do you remember when teenagers back in the early 2000s were wearing like rubber bands on their hands to say what kind of sex they'll do at parties? Well, we have that, but it's mistletoe.
But it's mistletoe. Yeah. It's the good stuff.
Yeah. This mistletoe is for Vore.
No.
He's like, oh, okay. Give me anything a little.
I'll take that. And I'll take one of the reverse 69 mistletoes. Because that's the dirtiest thing you can do.
Is that backwards?
It's the dirtiest thing you can do.
Yeah, reverse 69.
Yeah, and then he reverse 69. He's like, well, it's Christmas.
Still just trying to wrap my head around it, I guess.
Yeah, don't think too hard about it, man. You got to read Maurice Merleau-Ponty to really understand that. It's about the phenomenology of being embodied.
Right.
That's it. Have I done it? Or do you want to take a crack at it?
And then they do 69ing, but it's just as friends.
Yeah, just friends. Yeah.
Her friend is like, you have to do 69ing under a 69 mistletoe. And if he's like into it,
then you guys are
in love. But if it's dispassionate, it's just then you guys are just friends 69ing with one another.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay, that's the segment. Jack. We did it. And
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. This sounded like a child falling down upstairs.
I think it was. You got Merry a trampoline. Christmas. We bought him a trampoline.
Man, you must really love that kid.
Yeah. So he's good at it in a way that's like, I don't know if he's naturally gifted or maybe has a trampoline at school.
Cyril doesn't know how to jump. I was trying to do content. Did I tell you about it? I told you about it. I was trying to do content that involved, like, we bought him this, like, pogo stick, and I was going to, like, write about it. And I realized that he didn't know how to jump. And I was like, how do you teach someone how to jump? Anyway.
You never taught him.
We've
been working on Miles' vertical leap for, like, close to a year now.
Oh, yeah. That's
just after he started walking, we're like, well, we got to get this guy airborne.
You have him do those like calf exercises on the edge of a staircase.
Yeah, where he sort of stretches him out. Yeah,
that's how you learn
one of those
to
like sticks with like other little sticks on it, so he can jump and like slap the sticks to see how high he's gotten.
Hell yeah!
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good.
It's a burn. It's our burns.
Oh, it's our burns. That's how. So ho ho ho! It's our
ho ho ho.
Is that how we do it? Yeah, it's our burn of the week. I captured a burn.
Okay, good. Let me hear it.
You want to hear mine?
Yeah.
When they first meet in the grocery store, they have like one of their like overly revelatory conversations that doesn't make sense for strangers. Like, I'm an orphan, you know?
Yeah.
And fucking a firefighter jumped through my window when I was 9. They're constantly saying that to each other. And their conversation finishes, and she starts to walk off with her grocery cart. And he's like,
you having a party?
And she's like,
no. Why?
And then she looks down. She has like a fucking tub the size of her fucking head of like mint chocolate chip ice cream.
That is gonna last me a really long time.
Yeah, that's like Santa Claus theme for some reason.
Just like, no. Yeah, it looks disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good burn.
Funny. Yeah. It's funny.
Ray, the firefighter Ray.
Yeah.
The comic funny, relief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is sort of a constant target of burns.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to think he's like some like idiot, ugly idiot.
Yeah.
And treats him like that. And right at the beginning of the movie, comes out of the gate swinging with a burn because Superman is posing for a sexy fireman calendar.
Oh, it's funny. That's how it begins. Yeah. That's the cold open.
The other firefighters are sort of snickering at
him.
They're
all laughing at him, but in a gentle Canadian way.
The other guys did it.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be on the cover.
I don't want to be on the cover.
Yeah. And Superman says like, hey, Ray, why don't you come be the sexy fireman for the calendar? And the other fireman says,
really? How many calendars do you think Ray's gonna sell?
Yeah, and it's not a lot.
Not many, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's a fine looking man, I guess.
Yeah, he's fine, and he's like, he's not.
He's like, got like a dad energy.
Sort of well built, because he's like a fireman.
He's a fireman. Yeah, he probably could sell some. Take your damn shirt off, Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it, Ray.
That's a good burn. That's maybe a good burn. But Superman's so good looking. So obviously he's got to do the fireman calendar.
That horny old woman from the first movie who jumped into Superman's body is going to jump into Ray's body the next movie.
Hell yeah.
I'm like,
this is good, man. This is
gonna
a good
premise.
He's going to be
69ing under so many mistletoes.
His wife's going to be like,
pop
what happened
shirt
to you, Ray?
69, my man.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a cat war. Gets an interesting movie.
Yeah. Pretty rich mythology.
Good burns. Good cats in this movie. I loved it because of the cats.
They're cute.
They're funny. They made me want to. I miss my cat. I don't have a cat here in this Airbnb in New York.
I have to go. But before I have to go start a new career.
Yeah.
As an actor. Because I'm really invested in being an actor. And actually, there was a part in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
I could have been a fucking part.
Yeah.
It was Elio.
Elio? Who's Elio?
Elio, the host at Mangiano's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He does a very obviously fake Italian accent.
Buonasera and happy holidays. I saw you on the TV again last night.
Hello, Elio. Happy holidays to you, too.
Hi, Elio.
May I take your puffy coat?
He's even got sort of curly hair like me.
Yeah.
He's got big Tanner energy.
Yeah, he's got big Tanner energy. He seemed like
a
nice
guy. I feel
like
I could have played that part.
Mangiamo's is the big fancy restaurant in town.
Mangiamo's.
It's their Chez Maurice, because everyone's always like, yeah, I got reservations at Mangiamo's.
How could you afford Mangiamo's?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's also everyone knows Elio.
Everyone knows Elio. Yeah, that could be you. You could have done that.
I could have done that.
I would have played the old lady who died. There's another weird moment in this film. I do know you have to go in 1 minute, but the sister, they're very close sisters, but the sister who's married and is constantly trying to set her up turns to her, like buys her a fancy dress. She's like, you did so much for me when our parents died. And then Sandra Bullock changes into this beautiful dress and she comes out looking beautiful. And the sister turns to her and says,
you look like mom.
Her mom is like a fucking corpse.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah. Her mom was killed in a car accident, so she's probably like pretty mangled.
And Sandra Bullock is like crying, which I would too if someone, I guess that's my burn of the week.
You're saying
like,
I look
fuck
like
you. I put on a dress and you're saying I look like someone who got mangled?
Yeah.
She was burned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brutal.
Maybe your mom will come back in the next movie.
Yeah, maybe.
Like cat work.
Yeah. I love these catwalk movies, man. I am going to watch Nine Kittens of Christmas. This one was good. What else have we... I know you. Tanner has to go in exactly 3 minutes to have a big meeting with his new fancy boss. Say the end of the movie, and then we'll wrap it up. This will be a shorter episode.
End of the movie is they do 69 under the 69 mistletoe. They fall in love. She invites him to... Like, the other firefighters are like, you'll know you're in love when she invites you to meet her family. And she's like, hey, come to this party my sister is throwing. And he's like, oh, I can't, I'm busy that night. And she's like, okay. So she's like cool on him, and she thinks he's cool on her, and she goes to the party to meet her sister, and she sees him there.
He's there,
and she's with like, a hottie.
What the fuck
with a new hottie.
Yeah.
And she's like, and then she starts like blocking his calls. And eventually he remembers that she's going to be volunteering at like a shelter.
The cat
on Christmas Day.
The cat finds a newspaper that has like an ad for the volunteer shelter and is like, dude, go to her.
So he goes to her and he like does the He marks the territory. Yeah. And,
he pisses on his fire truck.
Yeah, he pisses on the fire truck and then they climb it and they fall in love.
They fuck on the fire truck in front of the whole town.
I'm climbing to the highest peak I can find. If you join me, I know we'll be together forever.
He was at the party to promote the firefighter calendar.
So yeah, he was at work.
And the hottie was the mayor's wife.
The mayor's wife, which scandalous.
Yeah. So they'll probably invite her into their lovemaking. And I think that is the film.
That's the film. It's a beautiful one. I liked it. I liked it even more than The Christmas House. I'm in a weird mood today. So I was in the mood to get up and watch
it. Well, it's got cats in it.
Mainline a Hallmark movie.
Yeah. You would like it better.
I like
I have to go right now. Goodbye.
Tanner has to
I'll
go
let
right
you do
now.
The outro.
Okay, Tanner's gone. He's leaving. Okay, bye to Tanner. I'd like to thank, thanks Tanner for bearing with me throughout some portion of this recording, at least most of it. You know, that's got to count for something. I'd like to thank the Baby Nation very much for bearing with us and for talking about this movie with us. And I'd like to remind everyone that you must subscribe to our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We have a whole other show there. We're talking about the Sweet Valley Twins books at the moment. It's a good time. Jump in. The water's warm. You must join our Facebook group that is called Baby Nation. You must also recommend the show to a friend and give us a review on Apple Podcasts. A lot of stuff you got to do, and you have to do it before Christmas. What else? That's it. All that remains is for me to say that this week we watched a movie. The movie that we watched was called The Nine Lives of Christmas. It was by the Hallmark Channel. And next week we're going to be back with our long-awaited episode about One Dance with the Duke by Tessa Dare with a very special guest. Looking forward to that. We don't have an outro this week because Tanner was supposed to do that, and he didn't, and he left. He's gone. So all I will say is that this week, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard, and Tanner, for the most part, was Tanner. And goodbye, and I love you.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
All right, let's get into it.
I'm so hungover.
Good. Ride that energy.
Be very